A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to my words. You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, was a man commended to you by God, with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, 'I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exulted. My flesh, too, will dwell in hope. Because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus, of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and poured him forth, as you can see and hear." The word of the Lord.
Lord, you will show us the path of life.
Lord, you will show us the path of life.
Keep me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, my Lord are you. O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup, you it is who hold fast my lot.
Lord, you will show us the path of life.
I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even in the night my heart exalts me. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed.
Lord, you will show us the path of life.
Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body, too, abides in confidence, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption.
Lord, you will show us the path of life.
You will show me the path to life, abounding joy in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever.
Lord, you will show us the path of life.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul, Peter. Beloved, if you invoke as Father him who judges impartially according to each one's works, conduct yourself with reverence during the time of your sojourning, realizing that you were ransomed from your futile conduct, handed on by your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of spotless, unblemished lamb. He was known before the foundation of the world, but revealed in the final time for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
The right hand of God raised me up. The hand of the Lord has triumphed. I shall never die. I shall live telling his deeds.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing as you walk along? They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days? And he replied to them, What sort of things? They said to him, The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke! Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. For so long, I often have wondered, how was it possible for the disciples, the apostles, those who were so intimately connected with Jesus, for those 3 years, I mean, being given the privilege of being given insight as to the parables he taught that were sometimes so perplexing to the masses of the crowds, how is it that they were not able to recognize the Lord after his resurrection? I mean, to have something right in front of you or someone right in front of you and not know that that was who that person is. It just always bothered me. And I oftentimes would just be kind of critical of the disciples then. Well, the Lord has a way of teaching. Yesterday afternoon at the vigil mass, singing the Alleluia, processing with the book, "The Lord be with you and with your spirit," a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Well, that's not the gospel of today. The gospel was Luke. So the Lord gave me a good lesson. How is it possible for you, my very own priest that I chose, and you're going on 22 years, a gospel that you've read so many times over the years, it's right in front of you, in the parchment that you have in front of you, and you still couldn't get it right? So many things could possibly come into our hearts and our minds as we move with the disciples in these early days of the Lord's resurrection, as we try to put ourselves in their shoes, as we try to somehow think about how it must have been then. And yet I believe the great mystery of today's feast of Eastertide, especially the season of Easter, is inviting us. Yes, it's good to do that. It's a good opportunity. It's a good way of getting a sense of empathizing, of walking in the shoes of your brothers and sisters then. But don't get so fixated on then that you miss the now of today and the reality of what has been recorded and what's being handed down to you as if it's something that only happened at one time. This is happening all the time. Jesus is always drawing near to us, particularly when we're going in the wrong direction. These two disciples, and rightly so, weren't just dejected, they were devastated in the wake of the events of what happened to Jesus in Jerusalem. We hear how they are on the way, conversing with one another, debating, and Jesus presents himself as a stranger and even ask a question that seems nonsensical, at least to this disciple who's given the name, we are given his name, Cleopas, which incidentally, many of the church fathers and scholars of the scripture believe that Cleopas is the same as the disciple at the foot of the cross mentioned in John's gospel, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary, the wife of Clopas. They believe that it was a derivation of the name, and it may be one and the same person, which if that is the case, then Jesus is actually engaging with his uncle. Cleopas would have been his uncle. And it's also been established that Cleopas was the father of Jude, of Simon, and James, all three of whom became bishops of Jerusalem after the great feast of Pentecost, which we hear St. Peter preaching his very first sermon. And he preaches in a way that he was incapable of speaking before. And how is it that he presents his witness of Jesus? Well, he begins by recounting the events and the activities that Jesus did very publicly that they would all remember. But then he goes on to quote from today's responsorial psalm, Psalm 16, which I would certainly encourage us all, that would be a wonderful psalm to pray with every day, especially during this Easter time, and maybe even memorize, because it was a key passage of the Old Testament, of the Hebrew Scriptures, that all of the early church leadership referred to in their presentation of the witness, of their testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one promised by God, sent by God to realize the work of salvation, not only for the Jews, but as we know, for the whole world. And what is it that he hones in on? He says, for David says of him, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. Therefore my heart has been glad and my tongue has exulted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the nether world, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And then Peter expounds. Now, what is he saying? My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ. Yes, David was speaking prophetically. Inasmuch as he was praising God, he had penned this psalm years before. This was all set in motion and being governed by the providence of God, but especially by the eternal Word of God that has yet to be made visible at that time. And so we see there was this reality. And so when Jesus begins to ask questions that seem nonsensical to Cleopas and possibly the other disciple who's kept anonymous to us, they begin to recount point for point, crossing T's, dotting I's, of all that had happened, and even as to the events of what was discovered as the women went to the tomb and discovered things, had a vision, had an experience of angels. And you can see they didn't give much credibility to their testimony because, oh, and some women, to make matters worse, some women went there and said they had a vision. Two of our men went there, they saw it, but they didn't see him. So they kind of, they have this lack of trust. As Jesus says then, he says, oh, how slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophet spoke. This was the issue, not that they didn't know the writings of the prophets or the law, but that they didn't believe. And so then Jesus begins to open their mind. Imagine that Bible study. Gosh, would you have wanted to be? Because it's about a 2.5-hour walk, about 7 miles Emmaus from Jerusalem. So Jesus, the eternal Word of God, was probably just breaking open those passages, and they were like, gosh, wow, yes, whoa, how did we, could you, and to the point where they were like, this was so engaging. Oh, no, please don't go on. Come on, it's getting dark. Could you come on in with us? And of course, Jesus, waiting for that invitation, goes in. And what does he do? He presents them and us with the pattern, with the means by which we will always encounter him and break bread with him and receive everything that we need to be those witnesses that he says we are to be in his name. He took the bread, blessed the bread, broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened. Up until that time, they were not allowed to see the Lord. Their eyes were veiled. It wasn't that they forgot what he looked like. They were being veiled. And perhaps the Lord veiled my eyes yesterday when I declared a reading from the Gospel of John instead of Luke. It's always something the Lord provides us with to remember. We are always sojourning, as St. Peter in his first epistle said. We are always sojourning. We will never feel at any time in our lives that we have finally arrived. There may be some moments where you get a sense that this is a nice place to settle down, but there's going to always be something within us or something going on in the world to remind us, no, this is not it. And so this is a lesson for us. It may appear as we hear this gospel that the climactic moment of this scene was what happened at the table in that house in Emmaus. That wasn't it. The climax was what happened after their eyes were opened and they went out in that same darkness where those dangers were still probably available and lurking in the darkness. They went back with excitement and with renewed faith, hope, in charity, with hearts aflame, testifying to what they now understood. And the key component that they were missing, that you and I have the benefit of, was the reality of Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Now they were able to correctly understand those mysterious passages in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, that pointed specifically to Jesus, the suffering servant that Isaiah so beautifully presents in his 53rd chapter. When we read Psalm 22, they have numbered all my bones. I can count every one of my bones. We hear those passages, and it's impossible for us who look through the lens of Jesus, through the prism of the cross, and to not see Jesus. They now have what we have. And now we also realize why it is that in every Mass, which this Road to Emmaus experience is for us a presentation of how the church has always gathered on the first day of the week, the Sunday, the day that Jesus was victorious over sin and death. For what other day would be most fitting to celebrate this great feast and this reality, but on the first day of the week? Why is it that Holy Mother Church always presents us with the Old Testament reading in the beginning for the first reading, a New Testament reading, and of course the Gospel to encapsulate it all? Because this is how Jesus interprets the Scriptures as well. He started with Moses and all of the prophets in the law and brought it to the present moment. And so it is for us. May our hearts be alive. May we experience and be confirmed in knowing, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the reality of Jesus in our midst, presenting himself to us in his word and giving himself to us really and substantially under the appearance of the bread and the wine, particularly when it is broken and given to us. And just as the disciples then, so it is for us today. When we receive it, the climactic moment of our coming together with Christ in the midst isn't the communion. It's what happens after we go forth to proclaim this gospel to all the world. God love you.